Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show, a powerful antidote and elixir for the toxins of right-wing talk radio. Your humble host is on vacation. You can call in on our regular toll-free number, 888-5-PETER-B. So pick up the phone and show some love from the left coast for the man from bradblog.com, Brad Friedman.
The eyes of Texas are upon you all the little long day. The eyes of Texas are upon you. You cannot get away.
No, you can't.
Do not think you can escape. Early in the morning, the eyes of Texas are upon you.
Live from Texas.
Well, I don't know why I came here tonight.
Houston.
I got the feeling that something ain't right.
Oh, it'll be fine.
I'm so scared in case I fall off my chair. And I'm wondering how I'll get down the stairs. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you.
Oh, yeah, here I am. Stuck in the middle with you, once again, your friendly citizen blogger, Brad Friedman, sitting in live from Houston, Texas, for our good friend Peter B. Collins, who is winging his way across the pond somewhere. Italy, right? Stuck in the middle with you, and happy to be here for the next week and a half or so. Guest hosting the Peter B. Collins Show. As I say, live from Houston, Texas, we're here in the bowels of KPFT 90.1 FM down here in Houston, Texas. Good folks of KPFT have been kind enough to allow us to use their facilities for the next week and a half while I'll be sitting in for Peter, causing all the trouble that I can. Some of you folks may know me, of course, from bradblog.com, where I do my business on a daily basis. Anyway, I'm also, you may notice, know me from Peter's show, Regular Friday Guest, on Fridays, 5 p.m. Pacific Time. It's the Election Integrity Hour with me, Brad Friedman. But now that I'm here for the next week and a half, we're going to have plenty of Election Integrity Hours. As a matter of fact, we're going to try to set aside the last hour of every show as your Election Integrity Hour, and I have just a feeling it may bleed into other parts of the show. But we have much more than election integrity to deal with, and we've got a huge bunch of guests here today. We've got a huge show coming up for you. We've got Bob Geiger from BobGeiger.com. He's going to talk to us about the Senate all-nighter last night. CIA analyst Larry Johnson is going to be with us. He was a former school chum of Valerie Plame. You may have heard of her. She's going to be here. Raw Stories' Larissa Alexandrovna is going to be here. Allison Parker from Human Rights Watch to talk about, well, let's call it the phony immigration issue as I see it. We're going to have John Gideon checking in with us with a daily voting news update late in the show, along with Tom Corbett from Riverside County, California, to talk about some goings-on down there. Gregory Luke, the attorney from Alameda County, California, to talk about an incredible decision that has happened in the past week up there, a court decision. Finally, some good news for election integrity advocates. We will get to all of that and much more. You know, last time I was down here broadcasting out of Texas, in any case, was 2 years ago, summer of 2005. We were in the middle of a cow pasture that was called Camp Casey. We had decided to drive across the country and head out to this cow pasture where it was about 120 degrees in the shade, and a good man by the name of Odie McClay was kind enough from KPFT down here, the Pacifica affiliate, to say, yeah, Brad, come on out. You got a 30-hour drive. I'll figure out how to get us on the air by the time you get here. And, well, he did it. And that was the last time we were broadcasting out of Texas for two straight weeks during the summer of 2005, outside in the heat. Conditions have improved only slightly, but at least we've got air condition. And yet we've got Odie McClay back with us, setting us up here. Hey, Odie, are you with us all week, my friend?
What? That's a leading question.
Don't look at me. Don't give me that dirty look. You're here.
I'm
you're
always
all week.
With you.
All right.
You're even when I'm not here.
You're not going to abandon us. You're going to make sure that the Peter B. Collins Show gets out coast to coast and around the globe every damn day, right?
Oh yeah. This is an important show.
Yes, I know it is.
And I, you know, I think this is a really cool thing for us to be sort of the community type organizations, maybe a little bit on the left.
You mean in the community
end of the dial?
Community type like Pacifica?
Yeah.
Radio.
Like Pacifica,
yes.
and like KXRA.
Yes.
At the left.
Yes.
End of the dial.
Yes.
Where the signal can be heard all over the world.
That's right. Coming out of there.
Frequency.
Broadcasting out of Monterey, KGOE right. in Eureka, KBBR in Coos Bay.
All these
Oregon.
Wonderful yes. stations that
yes.
carry this.
Yes.
It's really important to that this be heard, and this is the kind of thing that Pacifica wants to see.
We
want to see the word get out.
Well, bless you, sir.
And you're doing the job.
Well, bless you for making it possible. We will rock on, whether we like it or not. A couple of quick news items before we get to our very busy guest schedule. Well, one of the things I want to make clear here that over the next 8 days or so, as I'll be sitting in for the good Peter B., one of our themes is going to be being the media. Of course, I have always had that as a theme over at bradblog.com, where, oh, I should add, we've got an open thread there. I'll do my best to keep my eyes on it. You can otherwise try to email me, brad@bradblog.com. I'll try to keep my eyes on that. And you can give us a call all damn day at 888-5-PETER-B. And I'll try to keep my eyes on that, as well as good folks Brian and Katrina back there at World Peter B. World News headquarters up in San Francisco. Keep me up to date with the callers. We want to, by the way, we want to make sure that Brian, who's screening the calls today, stays really, really busy. So please give him a call at any time, and we'll try to fit you all in. Because the point that I was trying to get to is that being the media has been a theme at bradblog.com pretty much since we started up. Now I guess we're being the broadcast media this week, but we can't do it all. We need your help. So we need your help to make noise on this show. We need your help, as you'll see when we move forward throughout the next 8 days, to take action, to make noise, to write letters to the editor, to start your own blog. And one of the things we're going to try to do is highlight some of those bloggers out there and citizen journalists, certainly citizen activists who are making a difference. One of them is going to be Bob Geiger coming up in a bit. If you're not familiar with his blog, check out bobgeiger.com, G-E-I-G-E-R. We'll fill you in a little bit on that in a second. But that's one of the themes. We want to try to bring in a lot of the voices that aren't heard enough. You know, I was sitting in a hotel room today with, what was on the background? MSNBC, CNN. We were preparing for the show, and we kept the show on the cable TV there on mute. And one piece of nonsense after another. Football guy who was having dog fights. Stuff that doesn't matter. We're going to talk about the stuff that actually does matter, and we're going to have fun doing it, just like we do every day at bradblog.com. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back with Bob Geiger here shortly on the Senate all-nighter. And speaking of media misinformation, they have been running around telling us that the Democrats failed. Well, did the Democrats fail, or was it the Republicans doing what they do, which is being obstructionist? We're going to find out soon enough from Bob Geiger after we take a quick break here. Much, much more ahead. 3 hours, or as Sean Hannity says, 3 hours a day. That's all we ask. Yeah, we ask the same thing, but we ask you to tune in to Peter B. Collins for your 3 hours. We're going to be back with much, much more. I'm Brad Friedman. We'll be back after this.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Carmel's community bookstore, The Pilgrim's Way, is a locally owned independent bookstore and has been for nearly 40 years.
Discover for yourself our intimate and unique setting, including the secret garden, known locally as a hidden treasure in downtown Carmel. Our friendly staff at Pilgrim's Way are available to assist you with any personal needs or gift buying. And our book selection offers the best of personal development, local interest, bestsellers, novels, children's, and metaphysical, plus much, much more. We have great music and healing tools, cards, and garden statuary.
Visit us at www.pilgrimsway.com or call 624-4955 or visit the Pilgrim's Way, Carmel's only bookstore, and the Secret Garden on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in Carmel.
Come on in, and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones. Everything so tasty, you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a pillar affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus too. A side of couscous and a Bible galushian. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery in PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey. PG.
There can be no doubt that Saddam Hussein has biological weapons and the capability to rapidly produce more, many more.
We're resting our case on the fact that Saddam Hussein has developed weapons of mass destruction, has them in his possession.
The real threat to peace is Saddam Hussein and his possession of weapons of mass destruction.
There's a smoking gun, and it involves weapons of mass destruction.
They have weapons of mass destruction. That is what this war was about.
Every statement I make today is backed up by sources, solid sources. These are not assertions. What we're giving you are facts and conclusions based on solid intelligence.
A massive and sudden horror.
Massive death and destruction.
Death on a massive scale.
The danger to our country is grave.
Keep on rocking me, baby.
The Iraqi regime could launch a biological or chemical attack in as little as 45 minutes.
Keep on rocking me, baby.
The regime is seeking a nuclear bomb, and with fissile material, could build one within a year.
Keep on rocking me, baby.
The Iraqi regime possesses biological and chemical weapons. The Iraqi regime is building the facilities necessary to make more biological and chemical weapons.
Keep on rocking me, baby, 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 keep on rocking me.
In a speech to Congress, the Prime Minister opened the door to the possibility that you may be proved wrong about the threats from weapons, Iraq's weapons of mass destruction.
Yeah, we won't be proven wrong.
Won't be proven wrong or won't admit they're wrong. Welcome back to the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm your friendly guest host, Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com, sitting in for the good Peter B. And boy, oh boy, big night last night. I'm sure UC SPAN fans were up all night, keep a rocking all night long with the big Senate debate on what the hell to do about Iraq. Well, we're going to, one of the things we want to cover is citizen journalists out there who are doing the job of the media that the media ain't. One of those guys is, frankly, a top-notch, first-class blogger, if you ask me. Bob Geiger from BobGeiger.com joins us. He was, hey, Bob, were you staying up all night last night?
Hey, Brad, it's good to be with you. And, yes, I sound much more lively than I actually am right now.
Is that right? Well, you weren't really up the entire night, were you?
I was up until about 4 a.m. until my wife came down for the third or fourth time and said, are you still up? And I was dozing off and I gave up on it.
Was it dull?
You know, most of the speeches were quite dull, and, you know, after a while you became accustomed to exactly what you were going to see, which was a couple of speeches, and then whichever Democrat was getting up to speak next would call for unanimous consent to vote on Levin Reed, and the Republicans would object, and then there would be three or four more speeches, and that's pretty much what happened for the entire night.
Well, let's be clear, because there's been quite a bit of confusion about exactly, at least if you follow the media on this, about exactly what was going on last night. If you read the media, it seems that the Democrats were filibustering and that the Democrats failed something last night. Can you be specific about what the hell was going on, Bob?
That's hard for a lot of people to figure out, even when you cover the Senate like I do.
Yeah, well, not only to figure out, but if you count on what you're reading, I've seen reports, Talking Points Memo had a line over the St. Louis Post-Dispatch said something like, you know, Democrats failed to do. Give us an idea what actually happened.
Okay, what happened was with, as has happened with other bills before that have to do with withdrawing from Iraq, Harry Reid just drew the line this time. And what the Republicans have been doing with a lot of bills in the 110th Congress is filibustering them, blocking them to where they just can't go on any further. With this one in particular and with the August recess coming up, Harry Reid decided to draw a line in the sand and say, okay, on Monday we're going to come to the floor, we're going to say we want to vote on Levin Reed, which called for beginning withdrawal of troops in 120 days and total withdrawal by April of 2008. He brought it to the floor. Mitch McConnell objected to it. And then at that point, Harry Reid said, okay, well, normally if you're going to do a filibuster, the way it works in modern-day filibusters is not like what we saw in Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. You don't stand there and talk hour after hour after hour. And that used to be the requirement. Usually what happens now is all you have to say is, I filibuster, if you're a Republican in this case.
You just have to announce the filibuster, and that's it. Everybody plays along with that, correct?
Yeah, you just have to announce it, and then what happens is roughly 30 hours later, and this is written, the 30-hour thing is written in Rule 22 of the Senate Standing Rules. You come back to the floor and you vote. You don't get 60 votes, and the bill is killed, because it requires a three-fifths majority to move out of a filibuster and to move to a full vote. So what Harry Reid said was, you know what, we're not going to do it in the polite way we normally do, and I'm going to exercise my majority leader's prerogative, and you're going to be here for the next 30 hours, and he can't force them to get up and talk, but he can create a situation where they're going to be really hurt in the public eye if they don't get up and talk.
And were they hurt? Has it worked, Bob Geiger?
You know, it's a little bit hard to tell because I think that if you listen to a lot of progressive organizations, they're going to say they had people protesting all over the country at Republican senators' offices and that it did have an impact. I personally think it did, and I know a lot of progressives said they watched C-SPAN for a couple of hours, and they said, what the hell are the Democrats doing standing up and talking if it's a Republican filibuster?
Right.
And I think that's a very good question. And what it is what the Democrats were also saying is, this is not a stunt. This is not theatrics. And to do that, what they said was, we can't get the Republicans to debate about this in public because they know they're on the wrong side of the American people. They know Iraq is a disaster. They know they're just covering for George W. Bush, so they won't debate it at all. By going up to the microphone themselves and saying the things that they said, the Democrats really put the Republicans in a position where they had no choice but to come to the microphone themselves and rebut what the Democrats were saying.
And this was interesting to me, of course. Everyone has been saying, oh, this was a stunt. They were wheeling out these cots. Was it a stunt, or did this make political sense? Now, you're an unabashed Democrat, right, Bob?
Yes, very much so.
So did this work, or was it just a stunt in that sense?
You know, Brad, I think that at this point, most people don't realize that the Democrats don't have a lot of options. To me, this kind of falls into the category of it couldn't hurt, based on the few options they have available. Was it a stunt? I don't believe it was. I think Harry Reid is very sincere. I think when you look at some of the impassioned speeches that the Democrats gave, they really want to end this war. But I think what most people don't realize, including some of our listeners, is that in the Senate right now, when it comes to anything having to do with Iraq, Democrats are in the minority. They are not the majority.
Well, that's right, because you got Lieberman there. And we, real quickly, because I got to get out here, it's too short of a segment. Bob Geiger, I want to have you back over the next week or so to talk more about this as we go. But if this can be answered very quickly, is there a way for the Democrats to do something here that does not rely on the president, that does not rely on, when I say president, I mean George Bush, in case there's any confusion, and it does not rely on the president, does not rely on the Republicans to just cut off funding? Can they just not, in the Appropriations Committee, not give them the money for this war?
No, because ultimately you have to get past George W. Bush, and you have to get 67 votes to have a veto-proof majority.
Well, we're going to keep up the fight. Thank you, BobGeiger.com. Way too short, but we're going to do this again soon. Much appreciate you checking in. Go get some rest, my friend.
You're very welcome. Glad to be with you.
All right. You're listening to The Peter B. Collins Show. I'm Brad Friedman. Back.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
I am Attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school, when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am Attorney Sean Mills.
Every Sunday morning at 10, check out Rock Roller Real Estate, America's favorite real estate show. Learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are. Rock Roller Real Estate, every Sunday morning at 10. To be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. For more information, stop by our website at rockrollerrealestate.com. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540. Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance, Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
It's time for more on the Peter B. Collins Show. While your humble host is on vacation, here's Brad Friedman from bradblog.com.
Two stories have come out this week, both of which have the effect of exonerating and vindicating Mr. Rove, not implicating him. They have attacked Karl Rove on the basis of information which actually vindicates and exonerates him, not implicates him. The information actually exonerates and vindicates. It doesn't implicate. It's wrong. It's outrageous. The information exonerates and vindicates. It does not implicate. And what we should all do is take a breath.
Exonerates, vindicates. It does not implicate. It's good to know the administration is being represented by the late Johnny Cochran. If there ain't no uranium, hit him in the cranium.
Listening to the Peter B. Collins Show, broadcasting live from Houston, Texas. I'm your friendly guest host and blogger from bradblog.com, Brad Friedman, sitting in for the good Peter B. We got your secret agent man on the other line coming up momentarily, Larry C. Johnson, former CIA analyst, friend Valerie Plame Wilson, turned blogger and citizen journalist himself over at No Quarter. I wanted to give you a quick update real quickly. Keep in mind that we are open threading over at bradblog.com. Go on over there. There's an open thread. There's an item right at the top. Hit comments and speak your piece. Agent 99, I'm told, is hosting today, keeping an eye on the chat room. and all of you troublemakers down there and posting relevant links. I noticed you posted a link to a TPM Muckraker story on the articles that have been misdescribing what happened last night in the Senate. So check that out for useful tips and or give us a call that we will try to answer at 888-5-PETER-B. We'd love to hear from you. All right. Speaking of loving to hear from him, this guy, I'm a huge fan of, Larry C. Johnson, number one top troublemaker and a guy who actually knows, unlike the Washington Post, actually knows what the hell he's talking about. He was a CIA analyst and, as I mentioned, a school chum, a classmate at the CIA with Valerie Plame. Larry Johnson is with us to talk about the national intelligence estimate that was just partially released and what the hell we should be scared to crap about. Hey, Larry, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm doing I'm buying shorts and Depends.
It's really scary, isn't it? I was watching a cable news today. We should all be very, very concerned. Am I wrong?
They still can't. All they can do is tell you to worry. It's like that old NYPD blue. You all be careful out there, you hear?
Yeah, exactly. And this is really kind of a mixed bag, and I'm hoping, because you have a unique perspective on what these national intelligence estimates actually mean. Now, tell us what they mean. This is put together by, what, the 16, 17 of the country's intelligence?
The whole notion of 16 intelligence agencies is really a lot of nonsense. The fact of the matter is there are really three intelligence agencies that do any kind of writing analytically for a broad audience, and that's the Central Intelligence Agency, the Defense Intelligence Agency, probably INR, and maybe let's toss FBI in it. So it's really, you're talking four.
Right.
But, you know, they keep trying to trot out the, you know, got Army intelligence, Air Force intelligence, Navy intelligence, and those are just in-house organs. So this whole process really started last fall, October of 2006. National Intelligence Council says, okay, we need to write a piece up on, you know, what's happened to Al-Qaeda since 9/11 and what's the threat to the homeland. And then it gets assigned out to, you know, someone on the NIC itself can decide to write it, or they can farm it out to a couple of analysts, maybe an analyst from CIA and or an analyst from INR or from DIA. And it's produced, and then it's vetted, and it's sent back and forth agency to agency to comment on, and they go through this coordination process. So this is nothing that's been ginned up in the last couple of weeks.
Well, so all of these folks then need to, when we talk about these 16 agencies, now, of course, you're a CIA guy. You claim to be a former CIA guy, but I'll just...
I'm the ultimate has-been.
Okay. So of course, you want to beat the crap out of the Army Intelligence Services, but they, in other words, do they actually, all of these groups actually sign off on whatever the final product is?
Not all of them, not all 16 necessarily will, because they may not actually have a seat at the table.
I see.
You know, it's sort of, in my day, when we would come and, you know, I would have to coordinate with somebody down at the State Department's INR, and over at the Defense Intelligence Agency, anything that I was going to put out on Honduras and the Contras, for example.
Did you actually participate in these national intelligence estimates back?
Yes. Yeah.
When you were there? You did.
So you would either be asked to contribute a portion or sit down in on the coordination process.
Okay.
And the coordination process, literally, you have people sitting around a table going through, you know, paragraph by paragraph saying, yeah, let's change happy to glad, and, you know, I disagree with this. And it provides the forum that if you've got an issue where there's disagreement, then you can say, okay, these agencies within the intelligence community believe such and such, but the Department of Energy believes that the aluminum tubes really aren't for processing uranium, as happened in the October 2002 estimate.
Right.
Except in that one, they buried the dissenting comments in the back pages. Normally what's supposed to happen is if there's a dissent, you will air that dissent so whoever's reading through the estimate can say, okay, we know that there's no consensus. Apparently, on this one, there is no disagreement on those conclusions, and the conclusions are troubling from the standpoint that Al-Qaeda has regenerated its ability to hit the United States, and that is ultimately a complete indictment of the Bush administration and its failure to go after the folks that attacked us on 9/11.
Well, it is, but let me ask you this for a start. When they're warning about this, you know, since we have seen these NIEs sort of gamed before, or at least the part of them that is declassified gamed before. Should we be concerned when they're warning, Al-Qaeda is all ready to attack us tonight? Should we be concerned that maybe that's not the case? Maybe there are dissenting views that have not come out, that have not been declassified?
Well, yeah, I am troubled by, I think the Bush administration has done an absolute lousy job of going out and taking apart and trying to dismantle Al-Qaeda. That said, when you sit down and just look objectively at the capabilities displayed by Al-Qaeda, they have diminished in their ability. They're no longer able to carry out mass casualty attacks with great frequency. Yes, inside Iraq, but even most of that violence in Iraq is not Al-Qaeda. But if you attribute what can go on and out, ignore what goes on in Iraq and Afghanistan, outside of those areas, the only mass casualty attack last year was on a train in Mumbai, India, and outside a hotel in Egypt. They've really not demonstrated that they've enhanced their ability to carry out these mass casualty attacks outside of their normal home base areas. So I don't see them getting stronger in that regard. The fact that we don't really know what's going on in Waziristan, I think we've got suspicions, but, you know, if you read closely between the lines at what Fran Townsend, the National Security Coordinator for Terrorism, was saying, well, we don't know specifically where they are. We don't know specifically what they're doing. Because if we did, we'd go in and kill them. Well, okay, that tells you everything right there.
But that press conference yesterday was the tightrope act, I guess, that she was walking.
Well, remember, she's the one who refused to sign off on the FISA request that came from Colleen Rowley and going after Massawi's computer pre 9/11.
Really?
Uh huh.
She would not.
She pushed back on that and felt that it was inappropriate back then.
Well, she was clearly an operator in that press conference yesterday and walking. I mean, because like I say, this thing at this point cuts both ways. And I think they've gamed the intelligence system or the PR that surrounds it into such a way that it's impossible, really, I think, for Americans to know what to think. You know, in one sense, you say that Al-Qaeda hasn't attacked. Well, does that indicate that Bush is doing a great job because they have kept them from being able to do this? On the other hand, they put out this warning that they want to hit us any second. What do we believe anymore? What are we to take away when we hear reports coming out of this administration? Can we believe any of it, Larry, or are we on our own at this point?
I'm back to the we're on our own. My age of being willing to believe and give them any benefit of the doubt ended with the invasion of Iraq in 2003, when I got an email from one of my friends who was actually a national on the National Intelligence Council, who indicated that in fact the books had been cooked with respect to the war in Iraq. So I think we have to take these guys, what they say, with a lot of skepticism or the healthy degree of salt.
Right.
I think we need to recognize, yes, there are radical Islamic extremists out in the world who would like to do us harm. However, while they have that desire, that intent, the desire and motivation does not translate into capability. You acquire capability by actually being able to train, by having funding, by having a place to train, by being able to field recruits, and then being able to disperse those people out. Fortunately, it's not just the United States that's trying to keep an eye on these radical Islamists, because other Muslim governments as well are equally a threat from them. And so they've done a pretty good job of containing these guys. Nonetheless, it is it shouldn't surprise anybody that bin Laden and Zawahiri is number two. Are still running around free because the Bush administration has not made it a priority to find them and dismantle them. I know that for a fact because this Fran Townsend, who you saw yesterday, she's not in charge of finding bin Laden, and she has done the absolute worst job ever of being a coordinator of the counterterrorism policy and activities. Well, I know that for a fact from the inside.
George Bush told us he was going to find him dead or alive, Larry, so I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, then he changed his mind, remember? He said, oh, that guy's not that important.
Oh, that's true. Good point. All right, let me see. Let me get a call in here real quick before we go to a break. Daniel from Santa Cruz, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show with myself and Larry Johnson.
Oh, Daniel. Excellent show, as usual. My question is, do we really need the CIA solve the situation between Israel and Palestine, because it seems like that is causing a lot of problems in the Middle East. I think that it's more a question of diplomacy than spy versus spy.
Thanks for the call, Daniel. What do you think, Larry?
Yeah, I think that goes back to actually the days of Bill Clinton when they put George Tenet, the agency, right in the middle of trying to be the broker over there of what's really essentially a diplomatic process. And I think that's a role that's entirely inappropriate for CIA. I think that's something that's more appropriate for State Department or an outside envoy. I don't think that is the responsibility, nor should it be the responsibility of an intelligence agency. The intelligence agency is supposed to collect intelligence and provide objective analysis, not to become a policymaker.
All right.
I also would like to follow up with a question about the CIA and
real quickly, because we got to get out, Daniel.
And whether or not that actually increased the animosity towards the United States among Muslims.
I missed the first part of the question.
The extraordinary rendition of Egyptian clerics and Muslim people.
Listen, I think the George Tenet, John McLaughlin, who is the deputy, Jim Pavitt, who was the director of operations. On down to people like Michael Shore, who was one of the task force office chiefs within the Counterterrorism Center, Kofor Black, Hank Crumpton. Those gentlemen face possible charges of war crimes.
All right, we're going to leave it with war crimes for a second. We got to get out for a break. We're back with more Larry Johnson here on the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm Brad Friedman. Stay with us.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview nationally known writers, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
Have you ever felt trapped by fears, anxieties, and limitations in your life? Are there recurring problems you just can't seem to solve? There are solutions to the traps and puzzles of life, and Glenn Brooks, host of Vibrant Living, can show you how to find them. Join Glenn and Simone Zone creator John Mejia for a special Vibrant Living series on energy, psychology, and what it could do for you. This simple, respectful, drug-free, holistic approach based on current understanding of imagery, acupuncture, and focus can open up new insights and abilities. Saturday at 11 a.m. to noon right here on KRXA 540.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Because I say this as a currently registered Republican, I wish there was a Republican of some courage and conviction that would stand up and call the ugly dog that it is. But instead, you know, I watched last night John McCain on Chris Matthews' Hardball making excuses, being an apologist. Where are these men and women over there with any integrity to stand up and speak out against this? I expect better behavior out of Republicans.
There's a man who leads a life of danger.
All right, welcome back to the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm Brad Friedman, sitting in for PBC. We've got former CIA analyst Larry C. Johnson on the line with us here for the rest of the hour. We'll take your calls at 8885 Peter B. And I want to make sure Larry's got a new blog address, noquarterusa.net. And we were talking about the national intelligence estimate, what to make of it, should we be scared to death or not. I know that the cable news shows seem to want us to be scared. Maybe we should. Who can tell anymore? Keep an eye at noquarterusa.net, where Larry really puts together great stuff every day about all the stuff that matters, all the intelligence matters that matter, including Scooter Libby. Oh, and by the way, that was Larry. That was you from one of the hearings. I can't remember which one it was.
It might have been the Democratic Policy Committee hearing that was chaired by Byron Dorgan.
Right.
Back summer 2004, I think.
And that was a point that doesn't come up often, that you actually are or were a Republican. Is that right?
Yeah, I've been a registered Republican. I voted for Bush in 2000 and lived to regret that decision.
But, did you make the same mistake in 2004?
Yeah, I feel it. No, I came around on that. I had to vote. I voted for Kerry.
Okay, actually, I don't. We may be losing the signal on that end. Trying to get in touch with San Rafael here. We may need to. Oh, here we go. Larry, can you hear me now?
Yeah, I hear you fine.
Okay. We're having some signal problems on this end. We're dropping out for a few seconds at a time. So
yeah,
if I.
I voted for Kerry in 2004.
Ah, okay.
Even though I'm still on the rolls as a Republican in Maryland, you know, I can't see ever voting for a Republican again, given their conduct and criminality over the past, particularly these last two or three years.
Well, you made that call back in 2002, I guess, for a Republican to stand up and speak out and do something. Have any Republicans answered that call?
I think Chuck Hagel's about the only one.
Yeah.
Chuck Hagel, maybe George Voinovich. That's about it.
All right, well, I want to, before we have to get out here at the top of the hour, I certainly want to cover this continuing Scooter Libby Valerie Plame just disaster as I see it. And I've been following you and frankly your outrage. I think that's really it was the Valerie Plame Joe Wilson issue that really got you to speak out and led you to setting up your becoming a citizen journalist blogger here, wasn't it?
Yeah, I'd actually started blogging in 2003, but when the Valerie Plame case broke wide open and I suddenly realized it was the Valerie I had trained with, then I began trying to help try to correct a lot of the disinformation and lies that were being put out by the White House and the Republican National Committee. And whenever they would put me on air up against somebody who was trying to be an apologist for the administration, I just cut them off at the knees.
Right.
It was fascinating. The media, by and large, decided not to put me on very much against those people. Instead, they just put on political hacks so they could play this game that it was a he said, she said event. when, you know, from day one, the notion that they tried to suggest that she'd never been undercover, I mean, that was just a bald-faced lie.
But it was. And by the way, were you undercover? Were you covert?
Yes.
But you were not a knock like she was.
No, I was
right?
not a knock. But there were 50-plus members of our career trainee class that entered on duty in September of 1985. Every single member of that class was undercover. I know beyond Val, I know of at least two other members of our class who moved on into what's called non-official cover status. So it is the fact that every one of us were undercover. I would not have been covered by the Intelligence Identities Protection Act because I was not serving overseas. But Valerie was. Even though she lived in the United States, she was traveling frequently overseas. And, in fact, the story will come out. She was involved, directly involved, played a critical role in uncovering the activities of AQ Khan, the nuclear proliferator from Pakistan.
That's right. And we were blinded, as it were we not, when her when she and her network, Brewster Jennings, were knocked out of business by this leak?
It hurt U.S. intelligence operations dramatically. See, it was a significant blow.
And
it wasn't just hurting Valerie. And with the cover company, there were other individuals involved.
And will we ever... Will we ever find out, as far as it goes, were other people in the network? Was there, was anybody killed? I know they were put in danger, but don't they do an estimate after there's a leak like that, as far as
or a
report, as far as?
Yeah, they do a damage assessment.
Yeah,
I doubt the public will ever fully know. I mean, even with the cases of Robert Hansen and Aldrich Ames, Hansen an FBI agent, Ames a CIA officer, that in both cases. Only a very small amount of the damage that was caused by those gentlemen has ever been fully and publicly disclosed. And I know people who read the after-action reports and assessments, damage assessments on those, were just stunned at the full scope. So I think that is also out there in the offing for when Valerie's case is fully looked at.
And for all of these media outlets, and I wish I could put quotes around the word media outlets, like Washington Post, New York Times, Newsweek, Time, all of these folks who had reported over and over again or gave a platform to the right-wing disinfo folks to say Valerie Plame was not covert, have any of them, to your knowledge, now that it is known beyond a shadow of a doubt that not only was she covert, but she was covered by the Intelligence Identity Protections Act, have any of them come out and said, we were sorry, we got it wrong, here's our correction?
Yeah, no, none at all. And that's what's just
not
disgusting. They've maintained, because, at the heart of this was going after the old boys and old girls club here in Washington. These guys like to go to each other's cocktail parties and go to the Christmas dinner. So it was unfortunate. They won't eat their own.
Well, thanks for keeping their feet to the fire. I hope you'll keep doing it, Larry. I suspect you will.
Thanks for
taking time out of your day to chat with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
All right. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you. Check out NoQuarterUSA.net for the latest from Larry C. Johnson, who takes no crap from nobody. I promise you a good read and actually someone who knows what they're talking about and isn't putting out disinformation. All right, coming up next, I think we got Larissa coming up next, right? Larissa from Raw Story is coming back after the break.